Tonight, like you go to Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1, hallelujah. When we're going to start with verse 7 and read through 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Say, I've obtained an inheritance. Amen. This is a book of inheritances. This is God's will stating what he wants you to have and what he wants you to do. So we've obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Our inheritance in Christ is all-encompassing, all-inclusive, and it contains everything we need, want, and desire. Amen? Say, we have a good inheritance. And it's everything that that God promised us through Christ Jesus. Amen? And we've been talking about this. We talked about how our inheritance is our birthright. You were born into a family of God, and being born into the family of God, it gives you certain rights, certain privileges, amen? So by birthright, you have an inheritance, all right? Because you were born into this family, it comes with the right, all right? It's our birthright. And you have to receive your inheritance as a gift, amen? How many like receiving gifts? Well, you have to, your inheritance is a gift from God. God gives it to you. Amen? And just like any gift, we have to receive our inheritance. Some gifts you have to open to see what's on the inside. Amen? You don't just receive a gift and keep it in its package. You know? I hope that you open the gifts and you put them to use. Then we talked about how our inheritance is immediate. It is right now. And it is ultimate because it lasts forever. Amen? The greatest gift that we could ever inherit is eternal life. And because we have faith in Jesus Christ, we have our inheritance is immediate and ultimate. It's never going to pass away. Amen? It's never going to diminish in power. Our inheritance is never going to change. It's always going to be there for us. Amen? And the moment you accept Jesus Christ into your heart, your name gets written in a book of life. That's a book of remembrance. And God's going to go through that book when he comes back again. And he's going to distribute our inheritance. We're going to see the Holy Spirit that we have now is just the down payment. How many know that our inheritance is much greater than the down payment? Now, if the down payment is good, imagine what the whole thing is like. When you put on your glorified body and you can just appear in places with all the windows and doors shut, just like Jesus did. And all legitimate heirs share equally and jointly. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. What Jesus got, we get. What Jesus can do, we can do. He expects us to speak to storms. He expects us to talk to trees. He expects us to talk to dead people. Amen? Sometimes we need to have a conversation with a dead person so they come to life. Now, that could be naturally and spiritually too. Amen? Our inheritance is based on our relationship to Christ. It's based on our relationship to Christ. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Hallelujah. You know, I was just thinking, Abby went to South Korea as one and she came back many. I mean, God's multiplying. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. So, but, you know, Christ is the first fruit, and afterward they that are Christ at his coming. You know, the Bible says when he comes, we're going to be like he is. Amen? Because we're going to be changed. So it's based on our relationship with Christ. See, in Christ, everyone is made alive. So if you're in Christ, you're living the good life. Amen? And then, of course, Abraham is our example in our inheritance. God made a covenant with Abraham. And he told Abraham he was going to bless him. He was going to make him a father of many nations. He was going to bless him so that he would be a blessing. And that covenant with Abraham still benefits us. You know, Jesus became a curse for us. Why? So that the blessing of Abraham may come upon us. Can you say amen? Amen. Say, I'm blessed with the blessing of Abraham. Now, I want you to go to Romans 4, and we're going to get to where we want to go tonight. We're going to talk about the promise. Can you say amen? You know, the inheritance is God's promise to us. And God's promise is good. Not one word of God has ever failed, nor will it ever fail. And in Romans chapter 4, verse 16, therefore, it is of faith. Say, it's of faith. Listen, you've got to have faith in what God promised. How many know God can say something, but if you don't have faith in what he says, it's not going to occur for you? How many know when Jesus walked the earth, there were a lot of people who heard what he said, but they didn't believe what he said? Amen? So you've got to make a decision tonight to have faith in whatever God promised. Because whatever God promised, it's going to happen, it's going to occur, there's no time limit on the promises of God because they're eternal. So he says right here, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. How many know that God's promise is sure to all the seed? Amen? When you believe God's promise, you're believing in a sure thing. You're trusting in something that's going to come to pass no matter what. God promised Abraham, he said, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. Did that occur in a year? Did it occur in 2 years? You know, now, I believe that Abraham himself extended the time. Because how many know that he tried to do things on his own? He tried to hijack the promise and try to bring it to pass on his own. When you try to bring God's promise to pass on your own, it's not going to work. It's like trying to bake a cake with a missing ingredient. It's not going to taste good. It's not going to come out right. Listen, God's big enough to handle his promises. We don't need to hijack his promises. It says, not to that only which is of the law, but also that which is of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. If he's the father of us all, then there's a lot of things that we can learn from Abraham. He knew how to believe God. You can say what you want about Abraham, his mistakes, his shortcomings, and his faults, but the man knew how to believe God. The man knew how to accept God's promises. He knew how to take God's word. The minute God changed his name to Abraham, he started saying what God said. He got into agreement with what God promised. And then he said, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. How many know that God does what's written? Do you realize that the words that are in this book, yeah, even though man penned them, God wrote them. Because men were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write what we have in this book. These are God's words. If God said, by his stripes you are healed, that's a promise that you need to have faith in. And your body could be racked with sickness and pain, but you embrace the promise. You make the promise greater than the sickness. You declare that my God is a healing God, and his healing power is working in my life. And I guarantee you that when you agree with the promise, you'll have the results that the promise is saying. Because that's how it works. Before him who believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. Now, if God can do it, can we do it? Absolutely. We can call those things that be not. I may not have $1 million in the bank now, but that doesn't mean I can't call myself a millionaire. If you believe that God prospers you, beloved, he said in 3 John 2, I want you to prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Does God want you to prosper? Well, the question is, it's not enough for God to want you to prosper. Do you want what God wants? You got to want what God wants. How do you know when you want what God wants? When you say the same thing. See, when you embrace the promise. Amen? Verse 18, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations. How many know that there were some obstacles? When God spoke this to Abraham, him and Sarah, not only did they not have children, but they couldn't have children. Then they got past the age where having children was a possibility. But how many know the promise doesn't care what the age is? Amen? The promise works to anyone who will believe the promise. When you believe God's promise, there's power that comes from God, and it like turns the promise on in your life. Like when I walked into this building today, there was a point in time when I turned on the lights. The power is already ready. It's already wired, but someone had to flip the switch. When you put faith in the promise, you flip the switch on of the power that's already there. Verse 19, not being weak in faith. How many know, how do you not be weak in faith? Well, number one, you got to feed your faith. Amen? What does your faith eat? Does your faith eat kimchi? Does your faith eat hamburgers? What does your faith eat? Your faith eats the word. So you have got to continually remind yourself what God said in his word. Now, I have to deal with something. When people say they believe this or they believe that. What do you believe? Your belief has to be based on something. Your belief can't be based on anything. You know, let's say that I want Josiah to change something. He's my youngest boy. I can't just believe that he's going to change because I want him to. I've got to base that belief on what God said. Your belief has to be rooted on something. It can't be rooted on nothing. Amen? So, if Abraham was not weak in faith, he must have been continually going to what, reminding himself what God said. Now, we know that we read in Hebrews 11:11 that Sarah, when she considered the faithfulness of God, one day, Sarah was combing her hair, and she was just rehearsing all the good things that God done in her life. How he brought them out of Ur, how he brought them through Egypt, how he delivered them from the famine, how he delivered them from Pharaoh's house. How many know? Because Abraham's stupidity when he said, "Why don't you tell him you're my sister?" almost got them in trouble. But because of God's grace, God protected Abraham and Sarah, and he delivered them from Egypt with stuff. You read it. Pharaoh sent them out with stuff. So when you say you believe something, it has to be based on something. So your belief has to be based on the word. Anyway, what I was saying about Sarah was, she began to consider the faithfulness of God. Now, they didn't have a written Bible like we do. So God had to speak to them audibly, okay? They had the word of God, but it was spoken because at this time, nothing was written. Can you imagine? So when Sarah began to consider the faithfulness of God, she was reminding herself of what God said and what God did. And how many know that when you remind yourself of what God said and what God did, power comes to you? The Bible said in Hebrews 11:11 that Sarah received strength to conceive by considering what God said. Now, if Sarah received strength, what are you going to receive when you consider what God said and what God did? You're going to receive strength or power to do whatever you need done. Okay? Not being weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead. Listen, you can't check your body to see if healing is true. Because your body is not the author of healing. If you want to know about a book, ask the author who wrote it. Now, people could read the book and they could give you their opinion. They could try to tell you what the author was thinking, but the author knows exactly why he wrote what he wrote. Amen? So he didn't consider his own body, and he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. Listen, when you're gonna put your faith in the promise, you can't consider the circumstances around you. You've got to consider the promise. You've got to become narrow-minded. You've got to become laser-focused on the promise, on what God said, on what he promised, on what his word says, on what is written down, because that's where the power is. Okay, verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God. Well, he wasn't unbelieving. He didn't waver. He simply took God at his word. Hi, I'm father of many nations. How are you? Do you realize that every time Abraham introduced himself saying Abraham, he was saying, I'm a father of many nations? You know what? He became what he said. Now, if you're always talking the problem, you're going to become the problem. If you're always talking the answer, then you're always going to have the answer. There's something about, he staggered not at the promise of God. You know, Abraham didn't feel unworthy that God was going to bless him and make him a father of many nations. He didn't go to God, "Oh God, I'm just not worthy to be a father of many nations. Can you pick someone else?" He didn't stagger at the promise. When some people, when God wants to bless them, they choke on the blessing. In other words, something within them is hindering them from receiving what God wants them to have. They choke on the blessing. They can't get it down. They can't digest it. They can't embrace it. They think it's too big or they're too unworthy. But listen, you can't stagger at the promise. Because as an heir, every promise of God is for you. Every promise of God is yes and amen. That means yes and so be it. God will never tell an heir that they can't have what he promised in his will. Because as an heir, whatever is in the will is yours. So let's not stagger at the promise. Amen? Let God be too good to you. Let God overflow. Let him do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think. Say, I'm going to let God be big in my life. Say, God, be as big as you want to be. I'll receive it. I'll accept it because you said it. So we're going to change some mindsets tonight, amen? You are promise-oriented people, not problem-oriented people. What God said you can have, you actually know that you can have it. Okay, he didn't stagger at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Notice, he wasn't weak in faith, now he's strong in faith. He kept feeding his faith. He kept exercising his faith. His faith was strong. Listen, you got to strengthen your faith, especially when you have a need. That's a weak area in your life. That means you got to spend more time strengthening that part. If you build a fence and one part of it is weak and your animals keep getting out, do you have to replace the whole fence? Or do you have to just work on that part that they keep getting out of? You know, I think it was about 2 or 3 years ago, I discovered that I had an unwelcome resident in my house. It was a squirrel. Squirrels thought that they could move into my attic. And in the guest room, I could hear the scratching. And I went outside, and lo and behold, they had chewed a portion of my roof, and they found a way in. I did not invite them into my house. So I waited until they were out gathering nuts. And when they were gathering nuts, I evicted those squirrels. I covered up the hole. I put stuff in there that they would think twice of chewing into my house again. I didn't have to rebuild the whole house. I just had to strengthen that one part. So when you have a weak area in your life, you don't have to scratch everything else. You just have to strengthen the weak area. You just have to work on that part. If you're not strong in healing, you can strengthen healing. If you're not strong in trusting God to provide for you, you can strengthen that part. Amen? You don't have to throw away the whole thing. You just have to work on that part. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. You've got to get to the point where you are fully persuaded. That means that nothing else that could come near you could convince you otherwise. If we were to gather 100 people and knock on Abraham's tent door and say, "Abraham, you're not going to be a father of many nations because we just don't think it's possible." Abraham would have shut that tent door in our face and he would have said, "I don't care what you say. I'm going to be a father of many nations." He didn't say, he said, I am a father of many nations. In other words, he was fully persuaded. What was he persuaded of? That what God promised, he was able to perform. That's what you have to be fully convinced, fully persuaded. Amen? You can't let anything else convince you otherwise. I don't care if your feelings disagree with what God said. I don't care if your best friend disagrees with what God said. I don't care if your teacher disagrees with what God said. I don't care if your parents disagree with what God said. Anybody who disagrees with God is wrong. But you have to become fully persuaded. You've got to get to that point where you're fully persuaded that what God promised, he's also able to do. Can God do it? Will God do it for you? Say, God will do it for me. Amen? And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. So in this, Abraham became righteous. How many know the story of Peter when he fished all night in Luke 5? Now, Peter was an experienced fisherman. He had a partnership in his fishing business. And they were out on the lake, and these fishermen, they caught nothing. Now, I've never fished. Well, actually, I did cast nets in Guyana, you know, where you take the big net and you cast it out. That's a lot of work. And so Peter was using, you know, getting his nets and stuff all together, and Jesus decided to hold a meeting at the beach that day. And the crowd was so thick that Jesus needed some room because he's probably like me. He likes to move around when he talks. And so he needed to get away from the crowd, so he uses Peter's boat as the pulpit. And he preaches a message. Now, because Peter was so kind to let him use his boat, see, when the Lord wants to use something of yours, he's got something else in mind that he wants to give you. Amen? Now, when he was done preaching, Peter heard the word. Peter heard the words that Jesus said. Do you think that Jesus spoke faith-filled words? Do you think that Peter's faith rose to a level that it never was before because he heard Jesus preach? When Jesus was done, he looked at Peter and he said, why don't you cast out your nets for a catch? Now, Peter disagreed with him because in this moment, it was Peter's flesh talking. Peter's flesh was tired. His muscles were sore. He was tired. He wanted to go to bed. And how many know when you're tired and you want to go to bed and you're sore, you get a little cranky? Amen? But Peter said, look, Lord, Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. But did Peter stop there? What did Peter say? He said, nevertheless, at your what? Now, what did Jesus say? Jesus promised that if Peter would let down his nets, he would receive a catch, didn't he? Did Peter have any other reason to believe that he would get a catch other than what Jesus said? The only evidence that Peter had that he was going to catch fish, now remember, he was out there for hours. What did he do? He believed that simple little promise that Jesus gave him. So Peter, as tired as he was, he did what the master said simply because the master was talking. The master gave him his word. Now, it was up to Peter to respond to that word. Peter could have stayed on the dock. He could have stayed cleaning his nets. He could have never cast out. He would have never caught the catch of fish. You've got to do something with what God promised. So Peter took his boat out. Now, Peter, he only cast out a net, not nets. And he found out quickly that he needed nets, not just one net. Because he started to haul in this catch of fish. And the Bible describes it as almost sinking the boat. He had to call his partners just to help him bring in this one catch. That's the power of a promise. Will you believe what God said to you? Will you believe what he said in his word? Because it's true, it's powerful, and if you believe it, you make the power come to you. You make the power operate in your life simply by believing what he said. When you believe what he says, you do what he says. Amen? There's power in a promise. Go to Romans 8:32. Romans 8:32. You got your seatbelts on for the next 10 minutes? All right? Romans 8:32. These are powerful promises. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he with him not also what? Freely what? Give us some things? Is money an all thing? Is peace an all thing? Is healing an all thing? Listen, if God didn't spare his son, but through his son he gave him up for us, how shall he not also freely give us all things to what? All things. Go to John chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. Jesus told his disciples, he said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Yes, God daily loads us with benefits, but he knows what we can handle. Amen? However, I want you to notice that he still got many things to give you. How's he going to get them to us? When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will what? He will guide you into all truth, all promises. He's going to show you the promises that you didn't even know you had. He's going to show you God's warehouse. He's going to show you how your name is on everything in the warehouse. As a child of God, you have a right to go into God's warehouse and get whatever you need, whatever you want, and whatever you desire. He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me. Now here's the kicker. For he will take of what is mine and what? Declare it to you. When he declares it to you, that means he speaks it to you, and when he speaks it to you, you can trust it, and you can do it. That's how God gets his promises to you. He speaks them to you. He declares them to you. Amen? And all things that the Father has are mine. Jesus has access to all things. And if you know Jesus, you get the access because you're a joint heir. If Jesus has access to the Father, then you have access to the Father. Therefore, I said unto you, he will take of mine and declare it to you. How did Naaman get healed? A prophet, actually the prophet's servants, declared to him a simple instruction: wash in the Jordan 7 times. Did he believe it at first? He almost missed the promise because he started thinking naturally. Well, the rivers in Syria are much better than, I don't want to wash in the Jordan? Ew. Wash in that muddy water? Ew. But thank God that he had some people around him that had some sense. Well, if the prophet told you to do some grain thing, wouldn't you have done it? Well, yes, I would have. Well, why don't you just do a simple thing? Okay. So he goes and washes in the Jordan. What happened? He gets out the 7th time, and his skin is like that of a baby's skin. Leprosy gone. Man, I got so many things to say, I'm not enough time to say them. Lord, stop the... 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. God's got things he wants you to know and to have. They don't come through your eyes. They don't come through your natural ears, but they come by way of the Holy Spirit. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man who is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, when? Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. Why? That we might know the things what? That are what? Free. Say freely. Free. Listen, if there's a word that you need to get excited about, you need to get excited about freely. You can't earn it. You can't be good enough for it. It's just freely. God is a free giver. God gives with no strings attached. All he wants you to do is have faith in his promise. That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. That tells me that the Holy Spirit is the executor of the will. He makes sure that God's will is carried out in your life. He makes sure that you know what you have and what you have access to so that you can claim it. Listen, God wants his will carried out. Amen? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 21 through 23. Therefore, let no one boast in men. Listen, don't boast in me, don't boast in men, okay? For all things are whose? Say, all things are mine. You know who the heir of all things is? It's Jesus. You know who's a joint heir with Jesus? Me. You know, if he gets all things, so do we. Hallelujah. Go to Acts 26, verse 18. Acts 26, 18. And then I'm going to tell you how to respond to God's promises. All right? Okay, to open their eyes, we were singing that tonight, right? Open the eyes of my heart. Sometimes we're hindered from possessing the promise because we can't see it. We need our eyes opened. And to turn them from darkness to light. Listen, there are people in the Bible that will not have an inheritance. It's those who walk in darkness. If you're walking in darkness, you're excluded from God's inheritance. And I can prove that in 1 Corinthians 6, but I don't have time to go there. Okay? And from the power of Satan unto God, listen, God has to bring you into his family so that he can give you his goods. Okay? That they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Aren't you glad that we receive an inheritance? Okay, now, how do you respond to God's promises? Okay? Number one, you've got to believe God's promises. You've got to consider his word and trust it to step out and act on what he says. Now, oftentimes, when God wants to prosper you, he'll ask you to give something. God never prospered anybody without having them give something. What did he tell Abraham to give? His son. But Abraham, he had to leave where he was first. You know, because giving his son wasn't the first promise that God, or the first instruction that God gave. In order to receive the promise, you've got to follow the instruction. Okay? So you got to believe God's promise. You have to have faith alone in Jesus. It seals God's covenant. Simple faith in Jesus alone. You can't mix your faith with anything else. You can't mix your faith with how you feel. You know, sometimes when you believe God, you don't feel a thing. And since we're human beings and we're so feeling-oriented, when we don't have a feeling with a thing, we almost doubt if it's real. Amen? Well, I didn't feel that. You know? Well, guess what? It's not by feeling, it's by faith. You may not feel anything. What is faith? You're doing it because God said it. Your faith is in what God said, not what your body says, not what your emotions say. Amen? How do you respond to God's promise? Faith expresses itself in action. When God asks you to believe him, he makes a call to action. Lazarus, come forth. He had to jump like that because he was wrapped up like a mummy. Well, Lazarus didn't sit in the tomb. Why is he calling me out? I'm all wrapped up. I can't do anything. No, God expected him to do something. When God wants to give you a promise, he will ask you to do something because faith acts. Obedience involves heeding the word and obeying the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit, he's the one who brings us into all truth. He's our executor. So you've got to obey. And you know what? Whether or not you believe God's promises, they're true. But your belief in them will determine how his promises will affect you. If you don't believe God's promises, it's no big deal. You don't get the benefits. Unbelief and doubt. There were many times where Jesus had to put unbelief and doubt out. He walked into Jairus' daughter's room, and everybody was wailing and carrying on. And he said, "The daughter's not dead, she's asleep." What did they do? They laughed at him. What did he do? He put him out. Believing what God said allows you to personally experience the reality of his promises and receive their benefits. Just like Peter. I don't feel like it, but nevertheless, because you said it, I'm going to do it. He did it, and what happened? He got enormous results. There are tremendous results that occur by simply doing what God said. And then let's go to 1 Timothy 4, and then I'm going to close. 1 Timothy 4:1 God has got so many good things for every one of us. He gave them to us so that we could walk in them, so that we could do them, so that we could have them. You know, when Abraham left home, he didn't know that he was going to be the head of a corporation of 318 employees. He didn't know that he was going to be very rich because God made him rich. Do you realize that God made Abraham rich? He traded sheep and cattle and goats, and he became rich, very rich. Why? Because he was obedient to God. And when people tried to give him something, he said, no, you're not going to take the credit for my wealth. 1 Timothy 4, verse 7. Refuse profane and old wives' fables. Exercise yourself unto godliness, for bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Is godliness profitable? Yes, amen. Having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. You talk about a powerful promise when you exercise godliness. You have a promise of now and of then. Then he goes on to say, This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially them that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise your youth. Young people, this is an opportunity for you. God loves young people. Don't let people despise, well, you can't do that because you're not old enough. Well, if God says you're old enough, you can do amazing things. There wasn't one adult that was willing to take on a giant except a teenager. Every adult was bowing while three teenagers stood up and said, we ain't going to bow. They changed nations. So teenagers, be an example of believers in the word, in how you live, in your love, in your spirit or your zeal, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, exhortation, and doctrine. If your doctrine is wrong, your teaching will be wrong. Neglect not the gift that is in you. How many people have neglected their gift that God put in them? Your gift's been sitting on the shelf collecting dust. It's time you blow the dust off that thing and get it working. How do you do it? You stir yourself up. You got gifts that God put in you. Neglect not the gift that is in you, which is given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands. Meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly to them, that your profiting may appear to all. You tell me God's not embarrassed of blessing you? Let people see how blessed you are. But it has to do with how we do these things. You know, our part is being the example of doing these things, giving attendance to reading. Pay attention to reading. Take heed unto yourself and unto your doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this you shall both save them and them that hear you. Listen, God is too good. Amen. He's a too good God. He's a too much God. He's given you promises. You can trust his promises. You can rely on his promises. You can believe his promises, because they will come to pass. Everything that God says comes to pass. How many times did he say a Messiah is coming, a Messiah is coming, a Messiah is coming? For years, all of a sudden, a Messiah came. And guess what? We've been saying he's coming again, but guess what? He's good to his word. He's coming again. Amen? There's power in possessing the promise. Say, I'm a promise possessor. God is my blesser. He's enabled me to have everything that he wants me to have. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the anointing. There's strength in the anointing. There's strength in the power. Listen, God's power can make things quicker. When Jesus walked on the water in the midst of the storm, when the minute he got in the boat, they were at the shore. Why? Because they brought the anointing in. When you allow the anointing to come in and do what it needs to do, great things can happen. Amen? The anointing wants to break open things. He wants to break off things. Things that have hindered you. Things that have stopped you. Things that have prevented you from moving forward. The anointing can take care of in a moment. Amen? The anointing of God, I believe, is here right now. Why? Because we're gathered in his name. We've been listening to his word. And now it's time to receive of the anointing. Amen? Maybe you're here tonight and you need prayer for whatever. God wants to do whatever. He's a whatever God to a whosoever will believe. Amen? He'll do whatever to whosoever will believe. So are you a whosoever that will believe tonight? I believe that when you're touched, the power of God is going to hit you. And I believe that whatever it is that you need will be supplied to you. Amen? So if that's you, come up and get it right now. I just want to pray for you if you need prayer. Hallelujah. Tonight, the Holy Ghost is going to make the promise a reality. He can cause confusion to enemies. And he gives you amazing victory. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus right now, Father, let that amazing victory be wrought right now in Jesus' name. Oh, let your anointing make up the difference right now. In the name of Jesus, Father, connect her with the power of your promise. And let that promise be a reality in her right now in the name of Jesus. For whatever she needs, whatever she wants, and whatever she desires. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. If faith can move mountains.